Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, February 17th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
millions still in the dark as the deep freeze continues in Texas.
The snow and ice has U.S. oil production plunging by the most on record.
Energy prices climb as the crisis shows no signs of slowing.
Plus, Warren Buffett trims his Apple stake. We'll tell you what he's adding.
The infighting escalates between former President Trump and Senator McConnell. Plus, New York's Attorney General has filed a lawsuit against Amazon. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Comeback win for the Nets. The Devils beat the Rangers. The Islanders won. So did St. John.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures are coming off yesterday's highs. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 3 points this morning. Dow futures down 15. NASDAQ futures down 26. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.7%. The CAC in Paris, it'll change, down less than 0.1%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.33%. 10-year Treasury up 0.8, yield 1.28%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8% or 49 cents at $60.54 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.6% or $10.70 at $17.88.40 an ounce. And the euro 1.2068 against the dollar. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the energy crisis in Texas, where officials are blaming the state's grid manager.
This was a total failure by ERCOT.
As millions remain without power, Governor Greg Abbott is calling on leadership of the state's power manager to resign.
So ERCOT stands for Electric Reliability Council of Texas, and they showed that they were not reliable.
In the greater Houston area, more than a million are either without power or under rolling blackouts. Judge Lena Hidalgo is the head of Harris County.
We're being told the generators are coming online, only to be told more homes are losing power. ERCOT needs to stop being overly optimistic and give us the clarity of what the outlook really looks like.
Hidalgo says power outages could continue in the area even after the cold weather has passed.
And it's not just Texas. Power suppliers all the way to North Dakota implemented rolling power cuts for a second day in a row. We get the latest from Bloomberg energy reporter Rachel Morrison.
It looks like several states across the U.S. will be in for more disruption today, and temperatures remain very, very cold. The forecast looks like it's going to stay cold until Saturday. So it's not clear yet when they're going to get power plants back up and running and when they can restore power both to homes and businesses and oil producers.
The deep freeze is also taking its toll on oil production. It's plunged by the most on record. We get that part of the story from Bloomberg's David Stringer.
The impact on U.S. oil production is unprecedented. You know, output has plunged by a third, crude output down by about 3.5 million barrels a day. In the Permian Basin alone, that's America's biggest oil field, output's plunged as much as 65%.
The crisis has energy prices in focus this morning. And for the latest on that front, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, futures in New York pushed higher after settling up 1% yesterday from Friday's close. About 3.5 million barrels a day of output have ground to a halt. Oil prices have risen even as a strengthening dollar reduces the appeal of commodities. Well, the crisis has also spurred a rush for fuel, with U.S. gasoline futures up more than 5% this week. Production of natural gas has plummeted to a 3-year low as the frigid weather causes liquids to freeze inside pipes. Yesterday, natural gas prices at one trading hub were up an astonishing 24,000% from a week ago. As we check oil right now, NYMEX crude up 59 cents, $60.65 a barrel. Brent is up 77 cents a barrel at $64.12 a barrel. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, John. The situation in the South has stalled the coronavirus vaccination effort in the region, but still there is positive news on the vaccine front. President Biden says Moderna and Pfizer agreed to sell more doses of their shots faster than initially planned. That's after he invoked a law to force production. The president held a CNN town hall in Milwaukee last night.
We have now, by the end of July, we'll have over 600 million doses, enough to vaccinate every single American. We got them to move up the time because we used the National Defense Act to be able to help the manufacturing piece of it to get more equipment.
So far, the U.S. has administered more than 56 million vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
Turning to the markets now, another day, another record for Bitcoin. It traded above 51,000 earlier this morning. The digital currency has risen fivefold over the past year. And checking Bitcoin right now, it's at $51,207.
U.S. bond yields are coming off yesterday's highs. They've seen a dramatic rise this month, while stocks have also climbed. Checking Treasuries now, the 10-year yield is at 1.28%. The 30-year is at 2.06%.
When it comes to stocks, Warren Buffett is making some moves. Berkshire Hathaway cut its stake in Apple late last year, but that's not all. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pillard.
The conglomerate also revealed three new buys that it snapped up in secret. Berkshire bought stock in Verizon Communications, insurance broker Marsh & McLennan, and Chevron, bets that were granted confidential status and not revealed in a third quarter regulatory filing. According to another filing, the Apple stake reduction left Berkshire with a holding valued at $120 billion at the end of 2020. It also cut a few bank holdings, exiting JPMorgan Chase, PNC Financial Services Group, and M&T Bank, while slashing its Wells Fargo stake by 59%. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. Coming up on the economic front, it's a busy day for data with a slew of reports on the schedule. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Retail sales probably rose in January for the first time in 4 months, led by autos. But the outlook is murky with COVID-19. We'll also get inflation data, producer prices, and could see higher industrial costs. The Federal Reserve issues January meeting minutes, and Bloomberg Economics says they could shed light on how Fed officials will interpret near-term economic developments. Also today, Fed data and industrial output. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. And again, S&P futures are lower, down about 3 points. Dow futures down 12, NASDAQ futures down 26, and the euro 1.2068 against the dollar. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus the check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The war of words has escalated between former President Trump and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Last weekend, McConnell blamed Trump for inciting the deadly U.S. Capitol attack, and now Trump is firing back. The former president called McConnell a dour, sullen, and unsmiling political hack, and if Republican senators stay with him, they won't win again. Political analyst Larry Sabato with the University of Virginia Center for Politics says Trump will remain a thorn in the side of the GOP even after finding him not guilty in the Senate impeachment trial.
He will interfere anywhere he wants. He is splitting the party, has already split it, and they did it to themselves. This is a classic example of how you can lose by winning and win by losing.
The former president also blamed Georgia's Senate losses on McConnell. New York's attorney general has filed a lawsuit against Amazon, saying the company has failed to comply with workplace safety rules during the pandemic. AG Letitia James also alleges the retail giant retaliated against warehouse workers who raised concerns. Amazon sued New York last week, claiming James was overstepping her authority. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio once again denounced discrimination against Asian Americans. During his daily news briefing, de Blasio says the Asian community suffered not only during COVID, but people wrongly stopped coming early on into the Asian community.
The discrimination must be battled in 2021. It is unacceptable and will not be tolerated in New York City. Any discrimination against Asian American New Yorkers will not be tolerated.
Connecticut is pushing to close the race gap in COVID-19 vaccinations. Governor Ned Lamont spoke alongside black community leaders at the First Cathedral Church in Bloomfield.
We're doing pretty well as a state. We got to do a lot better. And a lot of people are getting left behind, and there are too many people of color, too many people black and brown, folks who are most likely to suffer the worst complications from COVID.
Experts say another big issue is a lack of trust. An appeals court says New York City police discipline records can be made public over union objections. Yesterday's federal appeals decision rejected union claims that the state's transparency law would unfairly muddy the reputations of police officers, endangering them and affecting their future employment. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshaw.
Good morning, Nathan. The Nets' big three was down to a big one. Kyrie Irving, who scored 40 points in the win on Monday, had a sore back, joined Kevin Durant on the sideline. So it was down to James Harden, who knows how to take over the scoring, the NBA's leading scorer each of the last 3 years while in Houston. Harden led the Nets to an amazing comeback win at Phoenix, 128-124. At one point, the Nets trailed by 24. Harden scored 38, had 11 assists, 7 rebounds, but said he had help.
Just building confidence for the entire roster. That way, your numbers call, you're ready to go, you're ready to contribute. And from Tyler not really playing a lot to playing big minutes tonight to Bruce to Jeff, and now along the line, you know, from top to bottom. So it's the chemistry building for us.
Joe Harris, 22 points. Jeff Green, 18. Tyler Johnson scored 17. And the Nets have won four in a row. The Rangers have lost four in a row, beaten at the Garden by the Devils, who won the third period 3-0 in the game 5-2. Welcome back, Devils. Their first game since January. They, at one point, had 19 players on the COVID list. The Islanders, the night after winning in Buffalo 3-1, this time won 3-0. The shutout for Ilya Sorokin. The Isles have won three straight, five of the last six. St. John's has won 7 of 8, with the one loss coming in overtime. Red Storm helped their NCAA tournament hopes with a home win over Xavier, 93-84. Rafael Nadal playing now quarterfinals of the Australian Open. He had won 35 consecutive sets in majors. He just lost the third set to Stefanos Tsitsipas. Nadal still leads the match 2-1. Daniel Medvedev won in straight sets. Women's quarterfinal wins for Jen Brady. And Carolina Machova upset the top seed Ash Barty. John Stanshaw, we're Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thanks, John. S&P futures right now down 3 points. Dow futures down 15. NASDAQ futures down 29 points. 10-year Treasury yield 1.28%. This is Bloomberg. It's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And Treasury yields are retreating from their highest in a year, while European stocks edge lower as investors assess a busy day for earnings. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures lower, down about 4 points now. Dow futures down 18. NASDAQ futures down 31. The DAX in Germany is down 0.75%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.29%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.11%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9% or 56 cents at $60.61 a barrel. COMEX gold is down about 0.7% or $11.90 at $17.87.30 an ounce. The euro 1.2065 against the dollar. British pound 1.3867. The yen 105.97. And Bitcoin at $51,470. The EU expected to announce today a deal for another 150 million doses of Moderna's vaccine this year, with another option for 150 million more next year, that according to the Financial Times. And Ford Motor to drastically overhaul its business in Europe, vowing to go almost entirely electric by the end of the decade. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. A winter storm left millions without power in record-breaking cold weather has claimed more lives. They include three people that were found dead after a tornado hit a seaside town in North Carolina, and four family members who perished in a Houston-area house fire while using a fireplace to stay warm. The storm that overwhelmed power grids and immobilized the southern plains carried heavy snow and freezing rain into New England and the Deep South, and left behind painfully low temperatures. In all, at least 20 deaths were reported. In the NBA, a big comeback for the Nets as they beat the Suns 128-124. The Celtics also won. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Rangers 5-2. The Islanders shut out the Sabres 3-0. The Capitals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Want to turn our attention now to the pandemic and the vaccination effort, as it could potentially be disrupted by the deep freeze in the Midwest and South. For more, we're joined by Professor Andy Pekosch, teaches molecular microbiology and immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Professor Pekosch, are you concerned at all that the deep freeze in Texas particularly is going to have an impact on the vaccination effort?
You know, I think it will disrupt some transportation of supplies. I mean, I myself have gotten emails about potential disruptions of samples that are being shipped and availability of the dry ice that's so important for shipping some of the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. So absolutely, I think there will be some blips in the distribution of the vaccine. Hopefully, they'll be just limited, and soon after the deep freeze is over, we'll be able to move those things through the system and get back to where we're supposed to be in terms of our vaccine supply.
Do you feel like we are where we're supposed to be at this point, irrespective of the disruption caused by the weather?
Well, you know, we always want to have more vaccine. I think it's heartening to see the incredible demand of people for getting vaccinated. It certainly does look like the supply chain is going to be increasing. So, you know, we always want to put more vaccines into the arms of people, because that's going to help us both control the virus that's being spread, but even more importantly, reduce those hospitalizations and deaths that are such a strain on the healthcare system, and that you know, are really heartbreaking for so many families around the country.
Well, it does seem as though of late the numbers really are trending in a direction we would like to see. The latest data from HHS says hospitalizations are down 39% from the winter peak less than 4 weeks ago. Is it safe to say at this point that we're past the peak, that we're finally trending downward in a more sustained manner?
I want to be careful in terms of what I say here. It's great that it's going down, but we need to be at a such lower level of cases to really be able to put other interventions in place, like the contact tracing, that can keep case numbers down. So we need to really keep the keep our foot down on the gas pedal here and keep driving these case numbers lower. It does seem like we've gotten past the peak. The emergence of new variants that may be more transmissible is going to be a variable in the next couple of weeks that we don't know how to consider. But I really feel like we need to keep up our public health interventions to get our case numbers down right now.
What's the latest thinking as far as where we are on those new variants? Is the coronavirus mutating as rapidly as it had been?
Yeah, you know, we've seen, now that we're looking more carefully across the country and globally at the sequences of these viruses, it does seem like there's a lot of mutations that are coming up independently, meaning viruses that are circulating in very different parts of the country and parts of the world are picking up the same mutations. And that's a sign to us virologists that the virus is learning something, that something is happening there that is making the virus better to transmit. And so we really need to study that. I think the vaccines, all the data so far suggests that the vaccines are going to work against the variants that are emerging, maybe with reduced efficacy, but they'll still be working. So everything seems like it's going to be relatively okay for the next few weeks, but we really need to start thinking about boosters and changing vaccine formulations to make sure that we keep up with how the virus is changing.
Only have about a minute left here, and it's interesting you mentioned the idea of boosters and changing the rate of dosing. There's been some talk in the CDC about extending the amount of time between first and second doses to try to broaden the umbrella of protection for people. How should we be thinking about that?
Yeah, you know, the really critical thing is for us to get to a high level of good immunity in the population. There may be some flexibility. maybe 4 weeks or 5 weeks between the initial and the booster. But I don't think we want to push it much more because, again, we want to get everybody to that high level of immunity as fast as possible because that's going to keep the case numbers down and it's going to keep us from getting into a situation where the virus might have a little window that it can mutate to get around some of our vaccine responses. So there is a little wiggle there, but I think the goal is still going to be with the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines, get your two doses as fast as possible.
Thank you for this, Professor. Always great getting your insights. Andy Pekosh is Professor of Molecular Microbiology and Immunology at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, supported by Michael Bloomberg, founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. S&P futures down 4, Dow futures down 17, NASDAQ futures down 31 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Millions are still in the dark this morning as the deep freeze continues in Texas. Harris County, which includes Houston, is one of the hardest hit areas in the region. Judge Lena Hidalgo is the head of the county.
Whether you have power or not right now, there is a possibility of power outages even beyond the length of this weather.
Power suppliers from Texas to North Dakota implemented rolling power cuts for the second day in a row, and it could be days before enough plants are up and running. Dan Brulette is former energy secretary in the Trump administration.
It cannot be overstated how important Texas is to the energy world. And I think as we look at this particular event, yes, it's an extraordinary event in terms of the temperature. It's a tragic event in that people have lost their lives, and it's important that we take a look at, you know, what can we do to make the energy infrastructure even stronger.
Dan Brulette spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio.
So far, the icy blast has shut down a third of the country's oil production, and that has energy prices surging. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John.
And Karen, oil prices have spiked above $60 a barrel. U.S. gasoline futures are up more than 5% this week. Natural gas prices soared to more than $500 in Oklahoma from less than $4 at the start of the week. And as of Tuesday, they had doubled to roughly $1,000 per million BTUs. And electric power prices spiked on several days to the price cap in Texas, a staggering $9,000 a megawatt hour. Right now, as we check crude, NYMEX crude $60.69 a barrel, Brent crude at $64.20 a barrel. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Oil prices aren't the only thing rising this morning. Bitcoin's hit another all-time high earlier this morning, touching above 51,000. Right now, Bitcoin's at $51,357.
U.S. bond yields are coming off of yesterday's highs. They've seen a dramatic rise this month, while stocks have also climbed. And checking treasuries now, the 10-year yield at 1.28%. Meanwhile, the 30-year yield is at 2.06%.
And when it comes to stocks, we're learning Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway cut its holding in Apple during the last few months of the year. Berkshire also bought shares of Verizon, insurance broker Marsh & McLellan, and Chevron.
And we do have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg Energy Transfer to buy Enable in a deal valued at about $7.2 billion. And straight ahead, we have a look at your local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. This news update brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Former President Donald Trump has called Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell a dour, sullen, and unsmiling political hack. It comes after the former president's acquittal on an impeachment charge in which McConnell said Trump was responsible for the January Capitol riot. Larry Samado is a political analyst at the University of Virginia's Center for Politics.
This is absolutely unprecedented. I just can't recall any example of a president attacking a majority leader of his party in this vicious fashion. He takes McConnell apart. He shreds him.
Trump also blames McConnell for losing two Georgia Senate seats. President Biden pitched his nearly $2 trillion economic relief plan during a CNN town hall in Milwaukee.
That overwhelming consensus is in order to grow the economy a year, two, three, and four down the line, we can't spend too much. Now's the time we should be spending.
As for COVID vaccines, Biden estimates every American will be able to get their shots by the end of July. New York's attorney general has filed a lawsuit against Amazon, saying the company has failed to comply with workplace safety rules during the pandemic. AG Letitia James alleges that since the start of the pandemic last March, the retail giant failed to do enough cleaning and disinfection. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio once again denounced discrimination against Asian Americans.
Our Asian American communities have had a very, very tough time. In 2020, they not only experienced all the other challenges that everyone all over the city did with the coronavirus, Asian American communities suffered a tremendous amount of discrimination.
An attorney for Ghislaine Maxwell says her health has deteriorated in prison. The former British socialite was arrested in connection to Jeffrey Epstein's alleged sex trafficking of minors. In a letter to the judge, defense attorney Bobby Sternum says Epstein's ex-girlfriend is, quote, withering to a shell of her former self, losing weight, losing hair, and losing her ability to concentrate. By mid-morning, the former Trump Plaza Casino in Atlantic City will be just a pile of rubble. The one-time jewel of former President Donald Trump's casino empire will be gone on the boardwalk. Atlantic City Mayor Marty Spall says the focus is now on the future.
This is not about Donald Trump. This is not about politics.
The once lavish casino closed in 2014. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stanshauer's got a Bloomberg Sports update.
All right, Nathan, the Nets did something last night they had never done since they joined the NBA in 1976. They trailed by 21 points at halftime, and they won the game in Phoenix, 128-124, when James Harden hit a three-pointer with 30 seconds left. The Nets had their first lead. Harden scored 38. He took over with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant both injured, but Brooklyn also got 40 points off the bench. Steve Nash, a winner, coaching for the first time in Phoenix, where he was a two-time MVP. The Nets will bring a four-game winning streak into a game tomorrow in L.A. with the defending champion Lakers. Hockey at the Garden. Rangers and Devils tied going to the third period, which was all New Jersey. Devils won 5-2 in their first game since the COVID outbreak. Kept them from playing for over 2 weeks. Islanders, a 3-1 win at Buffalo. St. John's beat Xavier 93-84. Always welcome words when dealing with bad weather in February. Pitchers and catchers report to spring training today. The Mets have a new catcher, James McCann.
All you can do to really get to know somebody is that experience of catching someone. So that means catching as many bullpens, as many sides as I can, catching them in game situations, whatever it may be. You can watch as much video as you want. You can talk as much as you want, but at the end of the day, you have to get that experience of actually being on the field together.
Spring training games will this year be kept to teams in their vicinity, so the Mets will play only the teams on the east coast of Florida, the Yankees on the west coast. No native Aussies won the women's singles of the Australian Open since 1978. They were hoping down under with Ash Barty, the top seed. She won the first set last night 6-1, but lost the match to Carolina Muchova. American Jen Brady into the semifinals. Rafael Nadal playing now. He's got a 2-1 lead. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thanks. Coming up to 6:38 on Wall Street, time to take a look at stocks and names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Dave, Warren Buffett is back.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at what's going on with Verizon shares in early trading. They're up 4%. Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway disclosed that it bought a stake in the phone company starting in the third quarter. Berkshire's now Verizon's fourth largest shareholder with 3.6% of its stock. And that's not the only company where Berkshire's leaving a mark either. You've got the energy producer Chevron up 3.5%. Berkshire disclosing a 2.5% stake in that company. And one more for you, the insurance broker Marsh & McLennan up 2%. Berkshire, again, started buying shares in the third quarter and owns an 0.8% stake in Marsh.
So a little bit of movement there. Are we seeing any movement in terms of earnings this morning?
Well, sure, there's going to be plenty of movement. We should pay attention in the next half hour to results out of Shopify. The Canadian producer of online store software is due to post record earnings for the fourth quarter based on analyst average estimate in a Bloomberg survey. And Shopify, the stock has soared 271% in U.S. trading since the start of last year. So there's a lot to live up to in terms of those results. And Shopify's shares just higher in early trading, up 0.25%. We've already heard from Hilton Worldwide. It's down 2.5%. The hotel owner posted an unexpected fourth quarter loss, and revenue trailed the average estimate for the third quarter in a row. We'll also get results out of chipmaker Analog Devices and auto parts retailer Genuine Parts. You've got QuantumScape up 8.5%. The developer of lithium batteries for electric cars said it overcame a technology hurdle by creating a multi-layer battery cell. Now, QuantumScape gave the update with its first results since merging with a blank check company in November. Some other moves after earnings, you've got Agilent Technologies, a maker of lab testing equipment, up 1%. Solar equipment maker SolarEdge Technologies up 4%. The maker of colorectal cancer test Cologuard, Exact Sciences, down 3%. And the maker of business communication software RingCentral, they're down 3%, even though fourth quarter results and forecast topped estimates. And Tribune Publishing up 8%. The publisher of the Chicago Tribune and New York Daily News accepted a takeover offer from its largest shareholder, hedge fund Alden Global Capital.
Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you for that. Checking stocks as a whole ahead of the open, S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 3, NASDAQ futures down 26 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by your Tri-State Area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are little changed to lower. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are somewhat quiet right now, with Dow futures down 6 points, S&P's dropped 2, and NASDAQ futures are lower by 25. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.29%, gold is down 6, and Shanghai remained closed overnight, while European markets are lower, led by losses in Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, the producer price index and retail sales. At 10 o'clock, business inventories and the NAHB housing market index. And at 2 o'clock, minutes from the FOMC. After last night, in its 13F, Berkshire Hathaway cut back on Apple and Wells Fargo. Also added Verizon and Chevron. And regarding earnings this morning, look for Analog Devices to report around 8 a.m. In other news, Bitcoin hits 51,000. And in deal news, energy transfer to buy Enable Midstream in a $7 billion deal. Wrapping things up, Bluebird Bio cut to neutral over at J.P. Morgan. Fortive cut to Equate at Morgan Stanley. And Palantir raised to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First American News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Millions of Texans spent another night shivering in the dark last night with planned winter storm power outages heading into the third day. Many are now pointing the finger at ERCOT, the nonprofit organization which has controlled most of the state's energy since 2002 when Texas privatized its electric grid. The governor is now calling for an investigation and demanding ERCOT's CEO step down. Adding to the blackouts, natural gas, wind, and nuclear facilities are also being knocked offline. In the NBA, a big comeback for the Nets as they beat the Suns 128-124. The Celtics also won. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Rangers 5-2. The Islanders shut out the Sabres 3-0. The Capitals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Disney Plus can compete, but can it make money? I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Even as the COVID crisis continues to bludgeon its businesses, shares of the Walt Disney Company are trading near an all-time high. That's because its investors now care predominantly about a single number: how many people are watching Disney Plus. Its subscriber base has swelled to 95 million, quickly gaining ground on Netflix's 200 million. Disney arrived late to the streaming party, but it's certainly made an entrance. Now the question becomes how Disney presses that advantage to turn a profit. The company expects social distancing and masks to be part of its theme parks for another year, while weak Super Bowl viewership put a damper on the outlook for sports programming and cable TV at large. It's also unclear what becomes of movie theaters. Disney Plus has carried Disney stock price throughout this pandemic, but it's time to figure out how an $8 a month app becomes the new financial backbone of one of the world's most influential companies. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:51 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include President Biden talking about vaccinations and race relations at a CNN town hall in Milwaukee. The power crisis in Texas potentially bolstering the president's plea to remake the electric grid. And former President Donald Trump lashing out at Mitch McConnell as he now faces a lawsuit over the Capitol riot. Also making news this morning, President Biden surprising progressives with a left-leaning policy agenda. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins joins us now with more on all this. Well, Emily, President Biden may have run from the center during his campaign, but progressives are finding a lot to like about his first days in office, particularly when it comes to the stimulus push.
Yeah, Nathan, and I think it's sort of important to say that a lot of this is about the stimulus push and the amount of funding that the Biden administration has been really willing to spend here. You know, Biden, he doesn't embrace some of the more progressive policy items like the Green New Deal or, you know, health care for all Americans, a single payer plan. But he really has sort of said, broken from the Obama administration in saying that during this time of economic crisis, that there's not too much that the country can spend, that the more they spend is going to be a positive thing. And we kind of knew this from the start, that he would go a bit in this direction. Several individuals like Jared Bernstein that are really at the top of the White House economics, they are more progressive individuals who sort of looked back on their time in the Obama administration and said, you know, we wish that we had done more coming out of that 2008 recession. And they're trying to sort of use that knowledge right now to make sure that the economy has adequate funding to go forward.
And it's interesting as well, now that we're in the grip of this deep freeze in much of the country, that that could be playing into some of President Biden's energy agenda.
Right. So Biden has long talked about infrastructure, how he wants to get an infrastructure bill done. And part of that does relate to the power and the power grid. And you are seeing these major failures right now in the state of Texas. Individuals down there have been plunged into freezing temperatures. Many of them have lost heat. And it's a very complicated problem. It's not going to be sort of this one easy fix, but they've gone days and days without heat during a very, very cold time of the year down there.
Let's touch a little bit on what the president had to say at that town hall from Milwaukee that aired on CNN last night. Obviously, a lot of focus on fighting the pandemic.
Yeah, so Biden said last night that the U.S. would have enough vaccines for Americans adults by the end of July. Now, of course, having the vaccines for the adults and getting the vaccines into the arms of the adults are two different things. But he really did try and sort of emphasize the work that his administration has done to make sure that the U.S. is getting enough vaccine doses. That includes invoking the Defense Production Act, which is a law that allows the government to really nationalize commercial production in emergencies like this pandemic.
And finally, in our last 30 seconds here, tell us about former President Trump's reaction to the end of the impeachment trial.
So Trump responded to the end of the impeachment trial, particularly one part of it, when Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell got up and said that, you know, even though he voted to acquit Trump, Trump was still to blame for what happened on January 6th. And Trump, in response, sort of released this scathing, absolutely scathing memo, insulting McConnell, calling, you know, saying that he was an unsmiling political hack and saying that if senators remain loyal to McConnell, they will not win again. This is showing a sort of increasingly sharp divide in the Republican Party between more mainstream Republicans and Trump supporters.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you for all this. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2 in Washington. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It's 6:54 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes research breakthroughs and is ranked one of the nation's most research-intensive universities by Carnegie Classification. More at njit.edu/r1. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. There are signs that the food inflation that's gripped the world over the past year is about to get worse. Farmers are now getting squeezed by the highest corn and soybean prices in 7 years. It's lifted the cost of feeding their herds by at least 30%. To stay profitable, producers are increasing prices, and that means you will pay more for beef, pork, and chicken. Jeff Bezos is back, at least for now, as the world's richest person. That's because Elon Musk lost $4.6 billion on the Bloomberg Billionaires Index ranking after Tesla shares slid 2.4% yesterday. Jeff Bezos, who held the title for more than 3 years until last month, reclaimed his number one position with a net worth of more than $191 billion, or $955 million more than Musk. And are you calm under pressure and zero gravity, open to extraterrestrial travel, and female? If so, you could be a prime candidate for the European Space Agency's first astronaut recruitment drive in 11 years. The ESA, NASA's European equivalent, is highlighting diversity, this time to nudge the agency beyond its primarily white and male roots. This year, the ESA is looking not only to recruit more women astronauts, but also people with disabilities who have always dreamed of going into space. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history each day. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 1891, Albert Richardson patented the butter churn. Up until then, anyone who wanted butter had to make it by hand in a bowl. But Richardson's invention would eventually make it easier to make butter and forever change the food industry. Throughout his life, Richardson had a habit of seeing a problem and then inventing a solution. One such problem he saw was the way dead people were buried. At the time, it was in shallow graves or lowering caskets with ropes into a deeper hole. And this required several people to work in unison, which wasn't always possible, and it could result in damaging the casket. So in 1894, Richardson patented the casket lowering device, and it's used in all cemeteries today. Richardson also invented the home fastener, an insect destroyer, and an improved design of the bottle. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, S&P futures are a little changed to lower this morning. Dow futures also a little changed. NASDAQ futures, they're falling down about 19 points this morning. And Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrell, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.